Title of our lesson this morning, again, season for Jesus. You know, as we gather around together during the holidays, or Lucas and I went to the PRI, Performance Racing Industry Show yesterday down at the convention center, and people use it for multiple different things. You know, there's networking, go down there and buy stuff at a discount, see friends, make new relationships, rekindle old relationships in the racing community and the performance community. Lucas and I kind of go down there. We see some of that happens while we're there, but we go to see new technology, to learn new things, to gain a knowledge and understanding. And as we walk around, it's kind of neat because some of the stuff Lucas likes, you know, I can see him taken to that, and I'm like, I'm going to walk right by that booth. But we went back. If it was one that had a real high-powered light and a microscope combination, and this guy's looking at these little spark, well, he's looking at all these little intricate things, and magnification, the properties of it, the software, fairly reasonably priced. We spent a lot of time. And of course, Lucas says, well, I wish that guy would have talked a little bit more about his background and how he got to where he was at, rather than trying to sell us one, because he was a salesman. But as we gain knowledge about things that we walked around, new technology and new innovation, I looked at every single sprint car that was there to see what was new, what had changed, because it's the next year's model. As we gather around and study God's Word, there's always a season for Jesus. There's always a season to learn more. There's always a time for us to open our hearts, not to harden our hearts, and let God's Word work on us. That's why we gather on the first day of the week. One of the reasons why we gather on the first day of the week. I use that as an introduction just for us. To when you go, are you seeking understanding and knowledge? Are you seeking to kindle relationships? Are you seeking for some type of incentive? When we gather together, our incentive is always Jesus. Always Jesus. And as we get to him, you know, the passage that we read this morning out of Mark chapter 5, what I'd like for us to look at is touching Jesus and being heart healed. Obviously, this lady had troubles physically, and just a touch to Jesus took care of those things. Just a touch. Just a touch of his garment. Nobody else noticed but Jesus and her. And that's what happens when Jesus touches our hearts a lot of times in our lives. We don't have to have a testimony. We just have to know that we touch Jesus. And he touched our hearts. He cleanses us. To take time out to recognize. Jesus could have walked right on and said, yeah, somebody got some more of me. I healed another person. Absolutely not. And he didn't say, why did you touch me? He just said, who touched me? Who is it that's seeking me? Who needs love? Who needs forgiveness? Who needs healing? And it's the same thing with us when we touch Jesus. We need love. We need forgiveness. Our hearts need healing. Yeah? Maybe you got a perfect heart. We studied in Bible class this morning, you know. We admit to one another, confess our sins one to another. Boy, we're glad we have Jesus. Brother told me this morning, boy, if you only repent once a day, you're doing a lot better than I am. And if you don't repent at all, you're missing the point. You're not touching Jesus. You're just going on about life. He's not touching your heart. Touching Jesus and being heart healed. There's always a season for Jesus to touch our hearts. Mark chapter 6, immediately he made
his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. Well, he sent out the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. And he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Having faith in Jesus' power to save and Jesus' power over all things in our lives. Our faith in Jesus' power to save us from sin and over all things that happen in our lives a lot of times is hindered because of a hardness of heart, just like the disciples in the boat. When storms of life happen to us, do we automatically cry out for Jesus? Or do we just see the wind and the waves and we get scared? Do we forget about the power of Jesus in our lives, his promises and his word upon our hearts? Do we hear, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid, from the words of Jesus when we have storms of life coming? You know, as I was reading this passage, I looked at this for a minute and I thought, he saw them straining and rowing for the wind against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. I never even noticed that was in that passage until just this morning. And would have passed them by. Jesus, why would you do that? Guess what? Jesus passes all kinds of people by when they don't cry out to him and they don't recognize his power and they don't touch the hem of his garment. But he's right there the whole time. And we, as his people, it's always a season to help people reach out. This is a whole group of them crying out to him, as we did this morning for our brothers in Christ. Help us. We recognize your power and your providence. And you're truth for us. Here's the other thing. When I said that the power to save, that sounds, But you know what? People give up on their faith because they think they can't be saved. Satan convinces them that I'm too sinful, that I can't make a change, that I can't repent. We studied in Bible class this morning. It's crazy how our Bible class, God's Holy Word, works together. Repent. That's us with a change of heart. To softening. That's us softening our hearts to God's will. To be conformed to him. I can't be saved anymore. I've sinned too much. I can't change. Those are falsehoods Satan wants people to believe. Wants us to believe. Not to be all we can be for the kingdom of heaven. Thus the reason why I brought this passage out of Mark chapter 5 this morning to remind us. It's always a season to believe in Jesus and his power to save and to reach out to him. Make sure he doesn't pass us by. Plead to him. Come help us. I need your help, Jesus, in my life. Mark chapter 7, it is written, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand, there is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. When he had entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Well, as I look at this passage before I prepare this lesson, know what evil is. Know what is evil. To know what is evil. Because the world wants us to trick us. Satan wants to trick us to think sin is okay. It's okay not to ask for Jesus' help. I can stand on my own 2 feet. I can be prideful, but that's not what Jesus said. That's what comes out of a man. Pride comes out of a man that defiles a man. An evil eye defiles a man. Wickedness, deceit, lewdness, evil thoughts defile a man. To know what's evil. Very important, Jesus says. Guess what? Our world, how many of us, they want to sell us evil and sin. And they want to tell us what? This is what you should eat. This is how you should cook. This is what you should be doing. This is what's good for you. I don't want to take away from being healthy. When it takes a preeminence over Christ, you got them flip-flopped. Read this passage. Because if you can't get over the earthly and physically things, how can Jesus work on your heart about the spiritual things? To know what is evil. And that's knowing God's holy word and knowing Jesus. Mark 8, it is written, "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' So they answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.' Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. But he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get behind me, Satan. For you're not mindful of things of God, but the things of men.'" Very, very strong teachings in this passage, God's holy word. But to focus on us, the season for Jesus, and applying some of these considerations of this passage to our lives, be mindful of the things of God. Kind of mentioned it in the passage before. Who do men say that I am? It is crazy, but people in this world still have a very hard time knowing who Jesus is. His persona, his truth, what he came for. If he's John the Baptist, then he's just going to be talking about God. He's not the Son of God. He doesn't have that power to save that we looked at in the previous passage. If he's Elijah, he's just somebody come from the dead to talk to us a little bit. But if he is the Christ, if he is the Son of God, we believe, as we sang that song, how fitting. He is the Son of God, has the power to save, the power to help us. He is always readily available for me and for us. It's a tough thing. But Jesus said it, get behind me, Satan. If you're not mindful of things of God, but the things of men. He didn't say, Peter, you made such a big mistake, you're never going to help me again. I'm going to disfellowship you. I don't love you anymore. You can't have my forgiveness. That's how the world operates. Not so with Christ. He says, check your heart. We're going to have to go through terrible times in this life. All of us. How many of us, when we get sick? Why me? I ask that. Why do I have blockage in my heart that they can see with a scan? Well, maybe because of what I ate, not exercising enough. Maybe not, I don't know. But if I dwell on that above and beyond, you know, I'm sick. I got problems with my heart. Brad, Tom, I think I'm just going to take a sabbatical for a while. Quit serving God. Quit using my talents. I'm going to self-justify something happening to me physically, not to serve God. Be mindful of myself. And physical things instead of the things of God. Be mindful of the things of God. For those of you are trying to guess, I had a passage from Mark 5, one from Mark 6, one from 7, and two from 8. 5, 6, 7, 2 from 8. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus says in this passage, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And you know, when we think about things like, well, he sold his soul to the devil to be able to have a, you know, that song about the fiddle, playing the fiddle, whatever, devil went to Georgia, whatever it is, you know. Sell my soul, you know, the fork in the road, be able to play music better than anybody else in the world. Sell my soul for riches or glory or whatever it is. And we think of them things as physical things, but here's what Jesus says it means, kind of, as he follows up, potentially. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He says, when you're ashamed of me. And my words. When you're ashamed of the way, the truth, and the life. When you're ashamed of your faith. That's when our soul's in danger. Stand up for Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. And we have chances and opportunities to do that all the time in our lives. Whether you're young, in school, or you're at work, or you're retired, no matter where you're at. When you're by yourself, you can make a stand by pushing that button, turning off the TV when something unchristlike comes on you shouldn't be watching. Or a song on a radio, change your radio station. Or somebody tweets something, or Snapchats, or whatever else. I'm using, Stand up for Jesus in your life. There's always a season for standing up for Jesus. It's empowering. It brings peace. It brings joy. It brings love. When I have a contentious issue with my lovely wife, I have some choices to make. And when we have those contentions, we have choices to make. We can surrender. I can surrender to her. I don't like Alan. I'm just honest. She'll say amen to that. I can surrender myself. I can surrender to Jesus. I can stand up for Jesus. You don't have to be on a street corner with a Bible in your hand to stand up for Jesus. You got to make a change in your heart to soften your heart. Make sure He's guiding your mind and your heart. To say, I don't always need to be right. Who is the most righteous person ever walked face the earth? Jesus. And He said, I love you, I forgive you, I'm dying for you. And when we think we need to be right, or we're offended, maybe we just need to say, I love you, I forgive you, I would die for you. I'm following Jesus. This is a season for Jesus in my life. I'm missing the last slide, which is a recap of the things that we looked at this morning. So, seems we're missing that last slide. And I'm kind of early, a little bit. Touching Jesus and being heart healed. Having faith in Jesus is power to save and a power over everything going on in our lives. To know what is evil. To be mindful of the things of God. Stand up for Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. If you haven't made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, we plead with you to do that this morning. There's something on your heart you need the prayers of us together to do for you. We invite you to do that as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.